I'm glad you're here. My name's Kyle. I serve as one of the lead pastors of King's Church. And if you're new here, if you're a friend, if you've joined us for the first time, we're just so grateful that you would take a moment out of your Sunday to come and gather and worship with us as we lift high the name of Jesus. Church family, welcome back. Good to see you again. And we're in this series focusing in on the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. And the series is called Relentless Grace. Why is it called Relentless Grace? Because our God is one who pursues us. Amen? And so we're going to be walking through there. So if you want to turn in your Bible to Jonah chapter 2, it's a weird book to find. It's not really in the middle. If you have a Bible like mine, there's more on the left side of the Bible than there is the right side of the Bible, okay? So, but if you do have the same Bible as me, it's 1481. I don't know if that's helpful or that's hindering. I don't know. But we hope you would join us there. And as we continue this series, we have three more weeks in this series, as we look at the book of Jonah and how God's grace is relentless. God's grace is relentless. Grace is getting something that we don't deserve. And what we see in this book as this runaway prophet who has been called by God to obey him, and he goes the complete opposite direction. And as we ended, the sailors were heaving and hoving, and right? And they, one, two, three, and throwed him into the ocean. And that's where we're going to pick up today. But as we begin, I want to begin like this. Do you ever feel, or do you know what it feels like to hit rock bottom? Do you know what it feels like to hit rock bottom? Not just to stumble, but to sink so deep, so far to the bottom, that you just can't see your way out. I think if we're honest, we've all been there. Maybe it's relationships. Like, in relationships, I've done this. I'll do better next time. And then 5 minutes later, falling back into that pattern before. Or promising and not delivering. Or more than that, maybe it's you missed moments with your kids, or maybe it's a financial hole, or a habit that you can't shake, a mistake that has cost you more than you thought was possible. Either way, bottom feels the same, out of options, out of excuses, and no way forward. And at rock bottom, that's where God's grace meets us. And that's what we're going to see today in Jonah chapter 2. Jonah is literally at rock bottom, and God's grace meets him. That's the big idea. In Jonah chapter 2, he's at the bottom of the sea, the bottom of himself, and there it is in the dark, God's grace meets him. Here's the big idea. If you're writing notes down, it'll be on the screen. Grace meets us at the bottom and lifts us for his glory. The grace of God meets us at our deepest and darkest moments. The moments when we have no one else, when we're the only one to blame, that's where grace meets us. And we're going to see in this story, this true story, that grace lifts us for his glory. So the question for us today is, what happens when grace meets us at the bottom? There's three things that I want us to see this morning. When God's grace meets us at the bottom, number one is grace hears our cry. Let's read Jonah chapter 2. I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 17, just to give us some context. And the Lord appointed a great fish. There's some clarity. We don't know that it was a whale, right? So that throws out some childhood stories. But a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights. That information is super crystal, like super clear and super important for you to remember. 3 days, 3 nights, he was in the belly of fish. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord. So not when the sailors called him to pray to your God that we may be saved. Not right before he gets thrown in the ocean. Jonah gets thrown into the ocean, swallowed by a great fish, and then Jonah prays. And where does he pray from? He prays from the belly of the fish. As a kid, I thought about this when it came to Jonah. It was like Pinocchio was the retelling of the moment when Jonah was in the fish, right? You know, Pinocchio's on this massive sailing boat in the middle of the stomach of this massive whale, and it's just this big stomach, right? I don't think that was the case, okay? I think, you know, just not to be gross, but I think maybe he had some intestines in his face. I think he might have been cramped a little bit. It was uncomfortable. I don't think he had a lot of breathing room in there. And in that moment, it says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me, and all your waves, your billows passed over me. And then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters close in over me to take my life. The deep surround me. The weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. In other words, Jonah is sinking down in this fish to the bottom of the ocean, and he knows he's going to die. Yet, you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. And those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Jonah hits rock bottom, but the big idea for us today is that God's grace meets us at the bottom and lifts us for his glory. The first thing we see, three things we see when God's grace meets us. Number one, grace hears our cry. Grace hears our cry. Look at verses 1-3 with me. He says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress. And Jonah is praying. He's not praying from the boat. He's praying as he's been thrown into the water, and now he's in the belly of the fish. And this is where his prayer comes from. From the belly of the fish, from the very judgment and discipline of God. This is if you're new with us, this is a rebellious prophet. Real short, God said, do this. The man of God, quote unquote, runs away from God and runs away God's plan and direction for his life. So much so that God chases after him with a storm. And long story short, the storm ceases when the sailors throw him over the edge, and God appoints a fish to swallow him. Jonah is praying from the belly of the fish. This is desperation. I don't think he's down there and like, you know, maybe at this time I might want to pray because it's getting a little tricky, okay? No, it's there's this emotional overwhelming, like when you hit rock bottom and you don't know what else to do. And you feel helpless, helpless. I know what it's like to feel helpless. Do you know what it's like to feel helpless? It was the middle of the night. My phone rang. I looked at the screen and I saw it was my dad. And I answered and his voice was steady. But his words hit me like a punch in the chest. And he said, I have cancer. Talk about a moment where I utterly feel completely helpless to help my dad. And in that moment, my heart sank. I felt shock. I felt helpless. Like everything in me just went still. And Jonah is in that state, completely helpless. I called out to the Lord out of my distress. Distress. In a moment in my life, Jonah's like, listen, I deserve what's happened to me, but I'm going to call out to the one. I'm going to call out to God. He says, I call out to the Lord in my distress. And here's how grace answers, meets our prayers, how grace hears our prayers. It says, and he answered me. He goes, I cry out from Sheol. Sheol is a Hebrew term that's this idea of the grave. It's the bottom. He says, I cry out from the very depth of the earth, the very deepest part of the earth, the place of the dead, the grave. And he says, I'm as good as gone, and I'm crying out from that place, and he answered me. You heard my voice, is what he says. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me, and all your waves and your billows passed over me. And in verse 2, it reminds me, he says, I cried from Sheol, you heard my voice. I cried out in my distress, and he answered me. When Jonah gets around to praying when he's at rock bottom, grace hears his prayers. God's grace hears his prayers. He says, he answered me. He says, for you, God, you cast me into the deep. Jonah's not saying, hey, God, you better answer me like you deserve to answer me, like you owe me something to answer me. No, no, no. He's saying, listen, you cast me out. It's my fault that I am in this predicament. You know, a lot of times when we find ourselves in a trial or in a circumstance, it's easy for us to point the fingers, and we're always pointing the finger at someone else a lot of times instead of ourselves. And Christian, I want to encourage you. There's a difference between trial and consequences. Like, trial is everyone. James tells us everyone's going to encounter trial. Trial is life, right? And God uses trial to deepen our relationship with him, to draw us closer to him, to depend upon him. And trial happens. He doesn't test us. He doesn't tempt us. But trial happens. Consequences, matter of fact, actually are supposed to have the same effect, but those are things that we have to deal with because we did something that we shouldn't have done. So I just want to encourage you, just a theological timeout, like make sure you're not blaming God for a trial that's actually a consequence that you deserve because of your sin. You know, I blew it today, you know, I was drinking and driving and I ran into someone. That's not a trial in your life. That's a consequence of your sin, okay? Just want to continue on. He says, listen, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. And look what he says. All your waves and all your billows, they passed over me. This moment and scene in Jonah's life is a consequence to running from God, and it's God's discipline in his life. Now, Christian, I want to encourage you. Discipline is not a bad thing, because it's out of that discipline that Jonah cries to God, and it's his grace that hears his cry. It's the discipline. Why do I discipline my children? I discipline my children because I love them. That's what Hebrews talks about, that God disciplines us. He disciplines us so that we may be formed in his image, so that we may know the power of his love. To discipline is not unloving, it is loving. Now, I understand that some of us have grown up in situations when we think of discipline and it actually was abuse. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about discipline that shows the love and pushes them to righteousness and rightful thinking. God is using discipline in Jonah's life so that Jonah would cry out to him, that he would turn from what he was doing. And right in the middle of God's discipline, there's grace. He says, for you cast me into the deep. Jonah knows this is God's doing. It's not bad luck. It's not random circumstances. He is under the judgment and discipline of God. He says, floods surround me. Breakers and waves passed over me. This is vivid imagery of being overwhelmed and pressed down and powerless. And God's grace is seen answering Jonah. When I got that phone call from my dad, I felt helpless, but I never felt hopeless. Let me say that again. I felt helpless, but as a child of God, I never felt hopeless. We have hope, and Jonah cries out to God because he had hope. Now, I'm at the lowest of lows. I'm at rock bottom, and I'm going to call out to the one who hears, and he answered me. He answered me. Here's the thing, grace hears the cry of the one who turns to God. And God is using this moment in Jonah's life. As he's in the belly of the fish, he cries out to him and grace meets him there. I want to ask you this, if you're a Christian, have you ever wandered from God? Have you turned to sin and focused on running after sin more than running after God? That's what Jonah did. Jonah's a man of God and he is acting like the Ninevites that he did not care to go tell. He's acting like the sailors who worshiped other gods. That's what's so comical about this story, is why it's not a story. It's a story about a prophet who misses the very heart of God. And the people that we least expect to respond to the grace of God are the ones responding to the grace of God. And the people that we expect to respond to the grace of God are running from the grace of God. That's the story of Jonah. And if we're honest, that can be the story of our own lives right now. Christian, are you running from God? Are you pursuing sin? Are you pursuing disobedience? Are you pursuing your own way? But here's the comforting thing. Even if you've wandered, turn from your sin and cry out to Him. His grace will restore you. Running from God, turn to Christ. It's His grace at the cross that will save you. If you belong to Him, He will answer you when you cry out. In discipline, in distress, and in darkness, He still hears you. And friend, if you're here today and you're wondering, you know, I've never prayed to God, but you know, I sure feel like it's rock bottom in my life right now. God is calling you to pray and call out to Him. He's calling you to look to the cross. Grace hears our cry, but not just as a cry. Jonah didn't just cry out to the sailors. He didn't just cry out to the fish, hey, spit me out. Hey, sailors, come rescue me. Hey, sea, stop billowing. He cried out to the Lord. And when you cry out to Him, His grace begins to turn your heart towards Him. That's what we see in the text. Not only do we see grace meet us at the bottom where His grace hears our cry, but His grace turns our hearts. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, then I said, I am driven away. Jonah knows that he's in the judgment of God. Yet I am driven away. Yet I shall look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life, and the deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head, and at the roots of the mountains I went down to the land whose bars closed up upon me forever. Yet you brought me out of my life from the pit, and Lord my God. Jonah says, listen, in the moment when he cries out, grace meets him there. And there's a sense of hope in Jonah's prayer. Jonah's in the belly of the fish praying, right? Now just raise your hand and be honest. Have any of you been swallowed by a fish and prayed inside the fish? Okay, good. We have some liars in the room. You can repent later. Okay. It was a big bass. It was a massive bass out on Lake Pleasant. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I digress. But grace turns our hearts. Jonah is in the belly of the fish, and not only is he crying out to God, but when God answers him, there is a response of faith. He says, I know this is my distress. He says, I am distressed. I've been driven away from your sight. And then there's this phrase, yet. We don't really use that phrase that well here in our culture, yet. Like, when we say yet, like it's something that hasn't happened yet, right? Like, that's how we use yet. But the Hebrew word here is in the present tense. It's one of faith. It's responding to the activity of God. He says, I know that I will see. I shall look upon your holy temple. He cries out to God, and God's grace meets him there. He hears his prayers, and when God's grace meets him in his prayers, what his natural response now is he's turned his heart to God. He's like, not only am I crying out in distress, but I know in faith I shall see your holy temple. Now, Jonah's not saying, I'm going to be saved, I'm going to spit out of this fish, and I'm going to go to Nineveh. Jonah's not saying any of that. Jonah's saying, you know what, I'm going to die, but I know that I will meet him face to face. God begins using grace to turn his heart. Jonah admits the reality of God's judgment. It's a language of discipline, just like Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden. And he recognizes the seriousness of his rebellion, that there is separation from his God. But then he says, yet I shall look upon your holy temple. Not wishful thinking, but present tense trust that God will restore him. Grace is already at work in Jonah's life, stirring faith even before his circumstances change. See, when grace meets us at our rock bottom, it begins when we cry out to him, but then it begins to turn our heart to trust him. There's a desperate cry of prayer. God, I just, if you would just answer my prayer right now, I'll do whatever you want. And God answers his prayer, and faith rises up in his heart. And it says that the waters closed over me, the weeds wrapped around my head. And Jonah describes the crushing reality of his situation. He is helpless. His heart has turned to God in faith, trusting that he's going to restore him, not save him from the fish. says, the waters close in over me to take my life. The deep surrounds me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. And he's sinking and he's sinking. This image, I went down to the land whose bars closed up me upon me forever. He's sinking and sinking. This vivid imagery of death. He is on the very edge of death. Jonah is as good as gone. And the turning of Jonah's heart doesn't happen simply when he gets thrown in the water, but when he's at the deepest, darkest, most rock bottom part of the ocean. Grace turns his heart. He begins to trust God again. It doesn't mean, we're going to see in chapter 3, in chapter 4, Jonah's going to go do what God wants him to do, but he ain't going to have a good heart about it. We'll talk about that later. But Jonah begins to trust God. His heart is turned to God. I will see your holy temple. Grace turns our hearts when God meets us at the depths and leaves us with nowhere else to look but him. Spurgeon said it like this: I have a great need for Christ, and I have a great Christ for my need. In other words, like this: when you hit rock bottom and you're trying to, you've called out to God and he's answered you and you're like, where do I look now? I look at Christ and only Christ. Only if we would behold him, only if we would keep our gaze on him, what we naturally want to do is figure out how we can fix the situation. We start project planning. Hey, God, I'm going to do this, this, and this. He doesn't need things from us. He doesn't want us to do things in this moment. He wants us to behold him. And when we behold him, when we see him, that is where transformation takes place. That's where Spurgeon says, I have a great need for Christ. When I behold him, I see my great need. And when I behold him, I have a great Christ for my need. Jonah gets to the point where he is simply beholding God. And for you and for me, it may feel like there's crushing water, tangled weeds, the darkness, the gates of death, and sudden there's this endless hopelessness, helplessness there. But God's grace meets us. 2 Corinthians would encourage us in this beholding. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of our Lord, are transformed in the same image. Like what God is doing through trials and circumstance, when we're a Christian and we're at rock bottom, and we're running from God, and his grace, we cry out to him, it's his grace that hears us. We begin to look at him and turn to him. God's grace turns our hearts towards him. We believe in him. We trust him more than we did a moment ago. And as in that moment, what's taking place is that we behold him. And when we behold him, he makes us more like his son. He makes us more like his son. So when how do we turn our hearts away from the thing that we loved and we were running to? If it was sin, if it was rebellion, if it wasn't going to Nineveh, if we turn our hearts from that, if it was our fear, if it was our hatred, whatever it was, and we turn to God, what do we do? Do we do stuff? No, we behold him. We see him for who he really is. And as we behold him, we are transformed into that image. Believers, in your lowest, most tangled moments, grace can turn your heart back to God. Have you ever felt so hardened by a situation? Have you ever felt so hardened by a relationship? Have you felt so hardened by a circumstance? It's God's grace that will remind you that he's the only one. It's God's grace that will sustain you, that he's the one that's going to get you through it. God's grace turns our hearts back to him, just as we see in Jonah. And we are to behold him. Stop running. Stop striving. We're to lift your eyes to the Lord. That's what Jonah does. He looks and he's gazing. He's looking at God. We're to look to him in faith. And if you're at rock bottom, friend, and you don't know what it means to behold him, look to the cross. Because we are dead in our trespasses and sins. That is the state of us naturally. But God saves us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but he made us alive in Christ Jesus. Look to the cross. It's God's grace on Jonah for his faith to see, I will see his holy temple. It's God's grace on Jonah for his faith to be able to see, I will see him in his holy temple. Grace doesn't just hear our cry, it turns our hearts. And when grace turns our hearts towards him, grace does something else entirely. Jonah doesn't think he's just getting out of the fish, it's going to be over. No, Jonah is on the right track in a relationship with God, but he is still sinking down to the bottom. Things still look pretty bleak, pretty dreary. And look at this, verse 6. Yet, there's that yet word again. You brought my life from the pit. Jonah realizes God's rescuing him. And as he's got weeds wrapped around his head, he's sinking down to the very bottom. He's like, he realizes, he says, yet he brought him out of the pit. He's like, whoa, I'm alive. God has saved me. I'm going to make it. It's going to happen. It's going to be great. Here's the third thing. Where grace meets us at the bottom, grace delivers us for his glory. He says that when I was down there, you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. And when my life was fainting away, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Jonah acknowledges. There's no drama. Jonah simply acknowledges that God is the one saving him. God's grace delivers for his glory. He says, oh Lord my God, God's action comes first. He's the rescuer. Deliverance is entirely his work. It's not Jonah. Jonah didn't do something to be delivered. No, it was God's grace that he was delivered. Jonah's remembering and praying are the fruit of God's saving act. Grace not only rescues us, but it revives faith. And those, and look what he says in verse 8. He says, those who pay regard to vain idols, forsake their hope and steadfast love. Jonah is saying a prayer. He goes, listen, I recognize that I was wrong. Jonah's not talking about the sailors, though they prayed to little g gods, idols. He's talking about his people. He's talking about himself. He says, I've come to know that it's deliverance that has opened my eyes, that I've been a person that pays regard to idols, and I forsake my hope of steadfast love. In other words, what Jonah is saying is, Jonah sees this, the true thing about himself and Israel. This is probably one of the greatest verses of the whole book. He said, those who worship non-gods, not real gods, you know what they forsake? Mercy. Because mercy has been extended in the one true God. And he's saying the people of Israel, they know the one true God. And you know what? They've chosen to worship idols. And they have forsaken the hope of mercy. They've forsaken the hope of mercy. Clinging to idols means turning away from God's mercy. In Jonah's prayer, as he's coming out of the fish, as God is delivering, he recognizes where he had sinned and where he messed up. And it was so clear that he was marked by someone who worshiped idols. And then he didn't care about the mercy of God. He had forsaken the mercy of God. He had thought his religious duty would have saved him. And then Jonah says this, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. This is simple for Jonah. He has been delivered. It's God's grace that's delivering him. And Jonah's response to deliverance after he's confessed, that's where God is working and turning his eyes to him and his heart to him. Deliverance comes, and Jonah's response to deliverance is worship. 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 And obedience. Deliverance is never for us just from uncomfortable situations. Deliverance is not just so that we become comfortable, that everything is rosy and nice, and we have, the 401k, and we have three kids, and we have a dog, and we have, like deliverance from our sin isn't so that we have a better life now. That's not the gospel. Deliverance isn't prosperity now. Deliverance is receiving the riches of Christ Jesus through his sacrificial atonement on the cross. Amen? That's deliverance. That's what we get, right? And there will be a day, Revelation talks about this in 21 verse 3, where he's going to create a new heaven and new earth. And you want to talk about deliverance? There's going to be a day where we are delivered from this world. We were delivered from this fleshy body. But until then, Deliverance is all about being delivered for God's glory and for His namesake. It's not about our comfort. It's not about our daily pleasures. Listen, Jonah's happy that he's alive. Man, I'm alive. I mean, I ran from God. I got swallowed by a fish. It was a big deal. Like, this would be a weird Instagram story, and I think I'd get a lot of likes. But here's the thing. Like, I'm alive. And Jonah's not sitting there thinking, good, okay, I don't have to go clean my room now, right? Like, you know, you get on to your kids, and you're like, okay, listen, you're in trouble. Don't do that again. And they're like, whew, now go clean your room again. Even though that's why you got in trouble, but go do that. Like, Jonah's going to be asked to still do something that we'll see later on he doesn't still want to do. He obeys, but his heart is not in the right posture. When God delivers us, it's for His glory. It's for His glory. And look what He says. I with the voice of thanksgiving, I am thankful, God, that You have saved me. I will sacrifice to You. I have made a vow and I will pay. Why? Because salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah is not forgetting about what's happened. Jonah didn't deserve to be rescued from the fish. Jonah didn't deserve to be brought up from the pit, but it was God's grace that brought him up from the pit. It's God's grace that delivered him. And why? For His glory. For His glory. Verse 10 is very clear. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah, 3 verse 1, the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. God delivers Jonah in such an incredible, wonderful fashion, and He delivers him to use him for His glory. That is so important for us to understand. God not only delivers Jonah, but puts him back on the mission. Grace restores us to serve Him and proclaim Him. To me, this is one of the clearest patterns in Scripture. There's the confession of Jonah. There's the surrender of Jonah. There's the praise of Jonah. There's the deliverance of God for Jonah. And then there's the mission that must still go on for God's glory. God saves us not because we climb up to Him, but because He comes down to us. Jonah doesn't get to get out because he figured it out. He gets out because God spoke in His grace. And really, the linchpin of all of this, I don't want to just gloss over the text and miss really the most beautiful thing about the text. This is the beautiful thing. Jesus quotes Jonah. The religious leaders are asking for a sign. I got to have a sign. I want to know if you really are who you said you are. And He says, this will be your only sign. And that will be the sign of Jonah. Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. And what we see in this passage so clearly is it points us to the one who would be resurrected from being in the belly of the earth to being resurrected sitting at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because deliverance only comes from the grace of God. And it is most clearly seen as God's grace has been poured out upon the cross of Jesus Christ. And so when you might feel helpless, oh, church family, oh, friend today, if you might feel helpless because you're at rock bottom, you're not hopeless because you're at rock bottom, because there is a way out, and that way out is deliverance by God. If you've come today and you don't know Jesus Christ, there can be deliverance today. God's grace will set you free. Turn and trust Him. Amen? And if you're here today and you're a faithful follower of Jesus, but you know what? You feel like life is challenging. There's trials or maybe there's consequences. I want to encourage you. Deliverance comes from God's grace. And it's for His glory. It's for His glory. Can you see it? The fish opens its mouth. The waters pour out. Jonah is spit onto the shore, gasping, wet and alive. But notice, God did not deliver him back to his hometown so he could go home. Clean up, relax. He was placed right back where he could obey the call he'd been running from. Grace spares us, but it always sends us. Rescue is never just for us. It's for His glory. Believers today, if God's rescued you, He's forgiven you of your sin. He's pulled you from the pit. It's just not just so that you can breathe easier. It is so that you can get back in the game for His glory. Grace doesn't free you to coast. It frees you to obey and be on mission. Amen? We are a people delivered for a purpose, to make disciples, to carry his name where it is not yet known. And grace is always a sending gift. Unbelievers, like if you're here today and you don't follow after God, maybe you're interested in the things of God, God delivers you ultimately through Jesus because he's the greater Jonah who spent 3 days and three nights in the earth and was resurrected and now is alive, defeating death and defeating sin. And he has come that you may have life. Turn to him. Receive the grace in Jesus Christ today. Turn from your idols and trust him. Grace delivers us from death so we can live for his glory. Jonah's story in chapter 2 isn't just about a man and a fish. It's about a God who pursues us with relentless grace. Grace hears our cry when we are far from him. Grace turns our hearts back to him when we've run. And grace delivers us not just for our good, but for his glory. And all of this points to something greater than Jonah. Jesus, who went to the depths of death and the grave, and he rose again, and now calls us to turn, trust, and follow him. Amen? This is God's word for us. And as we leave today, we don't simply learn to learn, we learn to live. So I want to give you three questions for us. Maybe you're here today, the question is this: will you receive his grace? You may be running from God. You may be at rock bottom. You may be not knowing what's next, where the next financial paycheck will come from. You may not know what school's going to look like in the fall. You may not know what other people are going to say about you this week because you made this weird post on Instagram. I don't know where you're at. But here's the thing: God's grace is here in Christ Jesus. Come to him. The second question is this: where must you turn to him? Where must you stop running? Where are you running? Are you running from God or are you running to God? Where must you stop running? Stop running and behold him. And the last question is this: who will you tell today? Who needs to hear about the great deliverer? Who needs to hear about the grace of God that when we cry out to him, he hears about the grace of God that turns our heart and the grace of God that delivers us for his glory? Who in your life, where you live, work, and play, needs to hear this? This is why God called King's Church to be launched here in Anthem and in North Phoenix. Why? Because there's many that need to hear for their good and for his glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I ask, Father, that in this moment of response and worship, God, that we wouldn't just go through the Lord's Supper just as a simple ritual, but we would be reminded of your grace so clearly put on display in the body and the blood of Jesus. And his sacrificial atonement on the cross. May this spur in us an attitude and a heart of worship. Grace meets us at the bottom and lifts us for his glory. Father, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.